It's preaching time. And I'll be honest, the message I have, it don't really fit with the way things is moving right now, but it'll be all right. Amen. I'm used to preaching a good atmosphere down anyway. Romans chapter number 8. Are y'all alive in the building? Let's all stand, if you will. We've been preaching using Romans 8. We preached several messages at the end of Romans chapter 8. And I want to read one verse here. We'll give a few thoughts, and then we'll be preaching from 1 John 5. And continuing our thoughts that we begun out of Romans 8. The Bible said, Romans 8, and in verse number 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in the context of Romans 8, we've already noted several weeks ago, and Paul is writing about the sufferings and the afflictions and the things that the child of God faces. He asks the question in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? And our ears would perk up this morning out of many a pulpit and out of many a Christian's mouths today is thundered forth all sorts of things that are negative about the hour and the generation in which we live. And I know in the last days, Paul said, at perilous times shall come. It's going to be filled with a lot of discouragement, a lot of things that are going to weigh us down. Paul said, what are you going to say to these things? And he begins to expound on the victory that we have in the Lord. And in fact, it all comes to a head in verse 37 when he said, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And we preach several messages on victory in Jesus. And we're dealing with the Word of God as we believe that Christ has saved you in that. And we'd have a life of victory. It's God's perfect will that if you're saved and born again, that your life be lived in that of victory. It seems the more and the longer I preach on this in recent weeks, the more my life is challenged and the more I find discouraging times and depressing attitudes. Amen. But I'm glad I can be reminded today that we can have victory even in all these things. We're not just conquerors, but Paul said we're more than conquerors through Him and loved us. Last week we preached from the writings of Peter and preached on victory over suffering. Today I want to draw your attention to 1 John in chapter number 5 and in verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also and is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Or whatsoever, listen now, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. I'm interested in verse 4. We'll preach from all these verses this morning. But John said, John the Beloved said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. As you can be seated this morning, as we come this passage of Scripture, we understand that John is concerned with victory of believers over the world. He said plainly in verse number 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. There's victory that is to be had. We live in the world. We're in this present world right now.
right now. John said, I'm telling you that crown that has been born of God and been born again, that has been saved by the grace of God, and that's the crown that overcomes the world in which you and I live in. And we're not looking for victory over the world. John said, if you've been born of God, that victory is in your life right now. You possess everything you need in your Christian life and what we got to have victory over the world in this very hour. You'll notice two particular words here in verse 4, the word overcome it and the word victory. He uses the word overcome it twice, the word victory once. If you'll do a word study on it, you'll find that both the word overcometh and victory come from the same Greek word, and if I spelled it out today, you would pronounce it Nike. But really the Greek pronunciation is Nike, and I'm not trying to be deep or get off into, amen, into Greek and bore us all out of tears, but, amen, there's a reason you go down to the outlets today yet, and they've got the Nike outlet, and that company has taken out that Greek word, and they pronounce it different, but it literally means, it's a word that literally means to prevail, to triumph, to conquer or subdue. What John is writing about is that those that are born of God and saved, and my friend, they have the ability to overcome the world, to triumph over the world, have, my friend, to prevail over the world in which you and I live. You know that the child of God has three enemies. The flesh is our enemy, and the devil is our enemy, and the Bible teaches that the world is our enemy. And my friend, we're in a battle today with the flesh and with the devil. We're in a battle today with the world, and I trust the Lord to let me expound upon that over the next little while. And let me say this, John is interested in the believer having victory over the world. A world that he speaks of here deals primarily with the world system and that which is opposed to God and opposed to Christ. Stand opposed to his church. And can I say today that the world is not our friend, and the world today has set itself against God and in particular against Christ, and those that name the name of Christ can mark it down that the world is something we must deal with on a daily basis in our life. Amen. Tonight again, or this morning rather, the world is not our friend, and we must learn to have victory over this world in which you and I live in. I'm thankful for that which Peter said, that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. The day I got saved, the hold the world had on me was broken, and the chains of the world that my friend I lived under, amen, Christ broke them, and now as a child of God, I'm to be living in a state of constant victory over this present world we live in. Amen. Hang with me. The scripture has much to say about this subject of the world. I guess one of the most well-known verses, the most well-known verse in all the Bible teaches you and that, that the world is the object of God's love. They don't love him, but he loves them. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Amen. I'm glad today that he loves the world, and there's hope for the world today because God loves them so much so that John said, that Christ said there to Nicodemus, said, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm glad today that when I was in the world, God loved me enough and sent his only begotten Son to an old rugged cross and shed his blood, and those that were in the world, and of the world, a man be saved by it. Amen. That love that God has for this world. Amen. I'm glad today, if you're listening, if you want to, and you've never been saved, I'm telling you today that you're in the world, you're of the world, and you're on your road to hell. God loved this world so much. Amen. He made a means whereby through His Son, and only through His Son, you can be saved out of this present world. The world, the Bible teaches the world is the object of God's love. Amen. John 15, verse 18 and 19, if you'll look there and follow along with me this morning. I feel the need to hasten, but I don't want us to miss anything today. In John 15, in verse number 18, Jesus said this. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you. Because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. And we learn from these verses this morning that the world, the Bible teaches the world, hates and is in opposition to Christ. They don't love the Lord. They hate Christ today. They hated Him 2,000 years ago, and they crucified Him on an old rugged cross. And today they hate Him, and they've kicked Him out of the school. And today they hate Him, they're kicking Him out of the courtroom, said, and today they hate Him, and they won't let my friend local governments pray in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Organizations like the ACLU is nothing more than that spirit of antichrist in the world. And Christ said, the world hated me. The world hated me. And can I say again, they still hate the Lord Christ. They hate Him today. It's amazing. You can get up, preach about Allah all you want. Amen. Our president said, and not just Obama, Bush called all Muslims to gather up and pray. And they can pray in the name of Allah and nobody gets upset. Amen. But you let an old leather lung man of God, some dear old sainted child of God, my friend, get up and say, oh dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before they, my friend, they go to spitting and a cussing and amen, making a fuss and a scene. Why is that? Because the world hates and is in opposition to Christ. They don't love the Lord today, and sad to say, amen, many churches are becoming so filled with the world and that's why we ought to keep the world out, because, amen, you can't bring the world into the church and maintain that kind of love for Christ that we ought to, because the world and its own, Christ said they hated me. In these same verses, and even in verse 20, Christ said, remember the word that I've said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. And I say today that the world, the Bible's teaching you and that in this passage, Christ says that the world is not only in opposition and hatred to Him, but also to His church. Amen. The world ain't trying to get along with the church today. Amen. Not old-fashioned, old-timey churches. Amen. The churches that my friends still sing the hymns, spiritual songs and psalms, amen, and try to be right with God and preach the King James Bible, that uphold some standard of morality in our generation, amen, it's so contrary to the way they want to live, and the way they live and the way they think, amen, that they actually set themselves against the Lord's people. And I say to day that, amen, the Bible is still true. And my friend, they persecuted Him and they hated Him, and they're going to hate us as well. Amen. One of the great things that concerns me about my generation, and by the grace of God, amen, we're not going to change Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Amen. Listen, amen, there's a mentality of we want the world to like us. We want the world to get along with us. We don't want the world to be repelled by what we are and what we stand for and what we preach. Amen. But can I say, and nowhere in the Word of God have we been commanded amen, to cause the world to lack his said. Amen, we've not been called to get along with them. We've been called to preach the gospel and to raise the standard of righteousness. Amen, there'll be some that accept it. There'll be some that hear it. There'll be some, praise God, that get saved. A band large majority of this world, they're going to hate it. They're going to rise up against it. And they're going to do everything they can to oppose the work of God. The world today is in hatred and opposition to Christ. And yet, my friend, to his church, and yet, my friend, God still loves the world. 1 John 5 and in verse number 19, John the Beloved said that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And I say today, there's nothing good in this world. Amen. I'm not talking about enjoying the joys of life. Amen. I'm glad Christ came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. The Christian, amen, a true born again child of God ought to be somebody who knows how to enjoy life. My friend, you've got to understand the world and its system. It lies in wickedness and sin. Amen. That's why we're seeing not an evolution of things that are better, but an evolution of things that are worse. Amen. Man, evolutionists teach that man is evolving, and as he evolves, he's getting better, but man is not getting better. And because he lives in a world that is devolved and is unrighteous and is wicked. Can I preach a minute this morning? Every MTV song, every VH1, amen, program, amen, Hollywood, amen, the country music, Western crowd, amen, I'm telling you today, all they sing about is wickedness and sin and getting drunk and sexing it up and parties and everything that is contrary to the name of Christ. You say, oh, you one of them kind. I'm sorry, I'm one of them kind. Somebody asked me the other day, amen, he asked me, he said, preacher, and I'll talk with folks, try and help them. And this young man, he asked me, he said, now, I know that hard rock, that stuff's wicked. He said, but what about the soft stuff? Soft rock. He said, what about soft rock? He said, ain't nothing wrong with that, is there? And I said, well, listen, and he was talking about that hard rock and playing it backwards and all the subliminal message. I said, look, man, the problem ain't playing it backwards. The problem is playing it forward. Yeah. Amen. It's what I hear when you play it forward scares me to death. Amen. He said, but what about the soft rock? He said, you know, there's nothing backwards. I said, well, you tell me, what do they sing about? I said, now be honest with me, what do they sing about? I said, they sing about dope and smoking joints and drinking beer and having immoral sexual activity and, my friend, this and that and everything that is contrary to the name of Christ. I said, let's just say these one or two songs out there that don't sing about that. They're just laugh songs. Here's what I told him. I said, I ain't a swimming through a septic tank to eat a biscuit. Why? Because this world and everything that it has to offer by way of its music and its movies, by and large, its entertainment, my friend, it's all things that are set against the very nature and the righteous character of God. Amen. The world, I feel like I need to preach there the way some of y'all are looking at me. The whole world lieth in wickedness and sin. Amen. 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 John 17. You're in John 15. I like this. I'm about to preach now. John 17. And in verse number 14, we're in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. And he's praying to his Father, and here's what he said. He said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You look on up in here at your God-given eyeballs, amen, the Lord is saying that though the believer is in the world, he is not of this world. We're not of this world. You remember what Jesus said? I believe it was to Pilate in the fleeting hours of his life. He looked at Pilate and said, don't you know that I have authority to set you loose? And Jesus looked at him and said, my kingdom is not of this world. And I say today, his kingdom is not of this world. He didn't show up a mad friend to conquer amen, an earthly kingdom. He said, my kingdom's greater than any kingdom of this world. And when Jesus prayed, he reminds you and me as he prays to his Father, and we're in this world, we're hated by the world, we are not of this world, just as Christ himself was not of this world. That is, our spiritual birth comes from above. Amen. Our spiritual father is a heavenly father. At spiritual birth, amen. Listen, they sang the song the other way of the cabin of Miss Brittany in baptismal service. Amen. I had a birth I can't remember, and I've got one I can't forget. I got born in the spiritual family of God, on September the 14th, 1996. And since that day, amen, I'm living in this world, it all lies in wickedness, it's against Christ and many days against me. Amen. But I'm in it, thank God I'm not of it. Amen. I'm in a kingdom that's out of this world. Amen. I worry about this crowd says they're saved and they still live like the world. I'm not saying you can't be saved. I'm just telling you I'm worried about you. Because when a man gets born again, Christ said, as these ones you give me, I have given them your word. I've let them know what you said. I let them know what your word is to be communicated to them. And the world hates them because they love me. And this crowd that is saved, they're not of this world like I'm not of it. You know, Jesus hardly ever fit in anywhere. How well you fitting? I thought I read over there that we were pilgrims and strangers in this world. Too many people are friends, had comrades with this world rather than pilgrims and strangers. I told y'all this message don't go real well with the atmosphere, amen. John, we're to be different. We were saved. And salvation, you ain't got to try to be different. You're just different. Amen. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Notice in John 17 and in verse number 15. This is powerful. I'm getting where I want to go. Hang with me. Lord, have mercy. Amen. The Bible said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. And let me just pause right here and say, one of these days we are going to be taken out of the world. Amen. Sissy, one of these days the trumpet God is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain, Paul said, shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. John 14:1 said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. A child of God, thank God. He's in the world. He ain't of the world. Hallelujah, one day we'll be out of this world. Christ is praying in this prayer, not necessarily that we'd always be stuck in this mess, but that we have to live here. Amen. You've been given life. God has given you life. He's given you, you're saved. You've got physical life and spiritual life. My friend, we're in this world, and Christ said, I'm not praying that you would save them and then pluck them right up out of the world. They've got to live here. They've got a job to do. There's a ministry for them to perform. And so what does Christ pray? He said, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Do you know what Christ is praying for there? Christ is praying that while we are saved and born again, and my friend, we've got a job to do, and while we're in the world, he said, I'm not praying you take them out of it, but you give them victory over all the evil that's in this world. And I say it's the will of God that you have victory over this world. This crowd that, my friend, they live their life eat up and consumed with the world. Amen. The world dominates their thinking. They claim to be saved. I'm not saying they are. The Lord knoweth those that are His. But mark this down. If you say you're saved and you're consumed with the world, you're living a life that is contrary to the prayer that Christ prayed for the Father to give you victory. We all wrestle. By the way, let me say this. We all wrestle with the world. I don't care how long you've been saved, short you've been saved, how many verses you can quote, who your mama is, daddy is, granddaddy is, grandma is. I don't care how long you've been a member of the church. We all live in the world. And because we live in the world, there is a pull from the world to get the child of God to go their way. Amen. There's something by the flesh that we have the world plays on. It said, you know what? It looks like the world's getting by. It looks like the world's having a good time. And yet Christ said, I'm not praying that you should take them out of the world, but I'm praying that you would keep them from the evil that's in the world. Give them a spirit of victory that they do not live the way that the world lives. You know, I say today, according to the Word of God, there's at least three things we've got to have victory over as it relates to the world. You'll notice in 1 John in chapter number 4, if you'll turn there, amen, I think there's something to be said about victory over the philosophies of the world. Oh, this is what he said. You know these verses well. Hear me out this morning. The Bible said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Amen. You say, what's a false prophet? That's a man that, my friend, stands and proclaims something contrary to the Word of God. And notice what he said, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it where? In the world. There is a spirit that abounds today that John said is the spirit of Antichrist. It is opposed to the Lord. It is opposed to Christ. And in that spirit and in that realm of the world, there are false prophets and teachers that arise, and they began to preach things that are contrary to those we've heard from the Word of God. What are they doing? They're spreading their philosophies, their doctrines, their ways of thinking. That's why I'm against Ophrah. Oh, big old Ophrah. Big old Ophrah. Amen. Y'all might as well look up in here. I showed up and preached. She ain't my friend. She's of this world. Oh, but she gives away so many things. Amen. You mark it down. She's a false prophet. If ever there's been one, she's a false prophet. Amen. And so do the best you can and follow your heart. And just do the best you can do. Amen. No dogmatic stand that Christ has come from God and has been sent to my friend in the flesh. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, you better be careful following the philosophies of this world. Amen. Oh, Dr. Phil, come on now.
Go ahead.
Amen. All these Christians getting in on Dr. Phil. It'd be good if Dr. Phil get on there and say, amen, the reason your life's in the mess it's in is because you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa, hallelujah. Amen. Old Joe Osteen, 12 steps to better appreciating your life. Amen. Getting a better self-image. Amen. You know what all that is? It's just a philosophy made to make the men and women and children of our generation that are in this world feel better about themselves and better about their sin. I tell you how you get a better self-image. You bow down and confess the Lord that you're a hell-bound, deserving sinner. Amen. Worthy of the judgment of God. And call out to Him for mercy and grace and receive His Son. That's how you get a better self-image. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joyce Myers. Bunch of false philosophy, false teachers and preachers are as it in our day. You'd be amazed how many people are sitting in our independent fundamental Baptist churches that my friend have accepted that and received that. Listen, that ain't what my Bible says is right. Amen. I wouldn't want to go listen to some woman who sounds like a man no how. Yeah. Y'all might as well say, man, that can't be a God. Like women sound like women. Amen. Philosophies of this world. You're going to have to get victory over it. Because, my friend, they're bombarding us every day. And you ought to teach your children what's right and what's wrong in this world. Now, listen, I'm not one of these guys that says, amen, everything's wrong except breathing and eating once a day. Amen, I believe in hunting and fishing and working and enjoying life. My friend, you've got to guard yourself lest the philosophies and the false prophets have rose and risen up in this world. Amen, bring you down in defeat in your Christian life. The philosophies of the world, the pleasures of the world. In Matthew 4, the Bible said that Satan took the very Son of God up and he led him up into a mountain and showed it all the kingdoms of the world. That's what the Bible said. In a split moment of time, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of the world. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I believe the devil, amen, showed the Lord that day all the pleasures that are in the world. And thank God Christ overcame that worldly temptation. Amen. And we can too. Can I remind you today that this world presents what it has to offer by way of sin as a very pleasurable experience. And I would not argue with them. There's a lot of pleasure in this world. That's why the drunkard, my friend, last night went down the barroom, sat on a bar stool. Amen. There's pleasure in the few hours he has there before he starts puking his guts up. Yeah. He experiences the pleasure in that feeling, whatever it is, of drunkenness that he longs to have. There's a pleasure that is attached to that. Amen. And we can talk about all sorts of pleasure today that is in the world. I like what Moses said. Amen. Moses said, I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God. I'd rather suffer and be numbered with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for a season. There's pleasure in this world. There's pleasure in sin and all that it has to offer. But as a child of God, you've got to learn that, my friend, though it's pleasurable, it is only pleasurable for a season. And that God never intended for those born of God to be caught up in the pleasures of this world. Everybody okay? I'm going to preach. It does get better somewhere in this, I think, by the end. Amen. This old crowd, you might listen, there's nothing wrong with enjoying things in this life, long as it ain't sinful. And as long as it don't rob you of what God said you are to be and do. I love hunting and fishing much as anybody, but I ain't doing it on Sunday morning. Woo! Amen. Way! Because that's a pleasure. If I'm not careful, no, it's not sin and can become sin as it robs me of my relationship with the Lord. Amen, amen, hallelujah, praise God. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with spending time with family. But God bless your heart if the Ledbetters get 100 people together and have family reunion on Sunday morning. There'll be one Ledbetter. There'll be 8 Ledbetters, praise God, that won't be there. You saw that's just going a little too far. No, my relationship with Him means more than my relationship with them. And if we can do it on Sunday, somebody can reschedule the thing and do it on Saturday. Amen. I'm feeling like preaching it. I ain't got mean in a while. Amen. I'm telling you, this world, this generation of churchianity in our day is eat up, my friend, follow it. Amen. Swallowing hook, line, and sinker of pleasures that are in this world. Amen. That's part of that philosophy. If it feels good, just do it. Don't let nobody keep you from something that feels good. Amen. And so now what do we got? We got a generation that's shacking and shacking and being immoral and living in sin and shacking and popping pills and shacking and popping pills and drinking and popping pills and shacking and drinking. Amen. And being immoral. And shacking and drinking and popping pills and drinking. And shacking. Say, are you saying that's wrong? I'm saying it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. It's a pleasure in this world that our... Amen, Lord, have mercy. Please tell these visitors I don't always preach like this. It's wrong, it's sin. The Bible says that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. Amen. But whoremongers God will judge. Bunch of wife swapping. Amen. I'm even against this bunch of wife swap TV show. Amen. Y'all might as well say amen. Ain't no other woman, I don't care if she stays, amen, upstairs and I'm downstairs, we ain't swapping wives. Woo! So what do you think about that? I think they're all stupid. They're wicked and they're stupid. Everybody okay? What is it? It's the pleasure that's in this world. The pleasure, feed the flesh, feed that sin nature, feed that it wants to dwell on sin. I'm telling you, amen, as a child of God, you've got to learn that it is the will of God. You have victory over the philosophy and pleasure of the world. Hebrews 11, can I preach? I ain't going to get all this done. I ain't even done with the introduction, Brother Dean. Say amen. Hebrews 11, watch it now. The Bible said that, verse 36, others had trial of cruel mocking, scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Watch this now. Of whom the world was not worthy. You know what Paul is saying there? He's saying they persecuted them. They stoned them. They sawed them asunder. They ripped their flesh. They run them out of town. And he said that crowd the world hated and persecuted. The world wasn't even worthy of them. Can I say something today? And I know we got to be careful. We're not no better than anybody else. But the grace of God has made me worthy to go to heaven. And the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, has made a difference in my life. And when this old ACLU, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, amen, amen, it's a bunch of wild system that rises up to try to persecute God's people. They don't even understand. They're not, amen, they're not even worthy for us to be around them. It's what the Bible said. Amen. They yell and scream and act like we're the problem. Can I say today we ain't the problem? Amen. They're a bunch of feuding and fussing and shacking and drinking and, amen, adultery and fornication and pornography and wickedness and divorce and drunkenness. Amen. We ain't the problem. They're the problem. Amen. Amen. And what they want to do, if they had their way, Gerald, they'd shut these doors today. They'd throw your young little preacher, amen, in a jail cell till I recant it. Amen. But by the grace of God, I'll not recant. I ain't backing up. Jesus is the only way. There's a right way to live, a wrong way to live. Amen. And we've got to learn that the world is going to hate us. Preacher, they hurt my feelings down at work. God bless you. Won't you put your big boy britches on? Go in and be a Christian and be a testimony for the Lord. Preacher, they make fun of me because I pray before I eat. Who gives a flying hoot? Amen. Preacher, they don't love me. Hey, get in your Bible. Jesus said they're not going to love you and live in victory over this world. Everybody okay? Lord, I feel like I need to quit. I've been preaching forever, but if I leave you hanging here, ain't nobody, everybody's going to leave thinking he's just an old mean preacher. Can I say today, at Christ prayed that we would have victory, John 17:15, and that victory relates to the philosophies and pleasures and persecutions of the world. Notice with me back in our text, y'all thought I'd never get back there. Hang with me for a minute. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. There is something you say, preacher, I just always fall in prey to the philosophies and pleasures that I get defeated at the persecution of the world. Hey, John said, if you're born of God, there is something on the inside of you that has the ability to overcome, to triumph over, to conquer over, to prevail over this world. Some of you have been saved. Say you've been saved 20, 25, 30 years, and you're still as worldly today as you were after you got born again. We'll tell you something. I ain't the judge of it, but according to what John said, there's something on the inside of you that's going to start overcoming the world one day. We believe in maturing and growing, and obviously Roger and Ruth, amen. Y'all ain't heard me preach like this. I hope y'all ain't getting blowed out. You still love me, don't you? I'm still the best preacher you ever heard, ain't I? Amen. Okay, I'm just checking. Obviously, they just got saved. They've not tapped into all that that's already on the inside. There's knowledge and wisdom that's learned. Amen. But you take somebody, amen, like Brother Mark, been saved a few years. He's come a little ways further. And then you go, amen, somebody like Brother Tim, been saved a lot of years. And there's to be more overcoming of this world. But if you're going to stand there and tell me you're saved and you still look like the world, you still talk like the world, you still live like the world, you still believe their philosophies and their false prophets, and you still, my friend, you still are just stuck in worldly patterns, I'm going to tell you, according to what John said, there's something wrong with the faith you say you have. I ain't trying to get nobody to doubt. Listen, we can all mess up. We can all live worldly tomorrow, but by the grace of God, amen, amen, any of us can wake up tomorrow in a drunken stupor. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something on the inside of me that when the world calls and the world presents that stuff and the flesh goes, wow, that looks pretty good. Something on the inside says, you can't do that. There's someone. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I ain't going to get it all, Jerry. I'll give a point or two and then I'll quit just so everybody knows that I'm not, amen, trying to just kill somebody. Portia, there's somebody on the inside that when the world says, hey, follow us, come this way,
come do this. It ain't that big a deal. That old preacher down there screaming, he's just preaching. That's all he's doing. It's just preaching. One of them old pastor's wives after a youth meeting, I preached in on modesty, preached on the shame of nakedness. I'll preach it here sometime just because every now and then you got to preach something like that. That old girl from Georgia, a little teenage girl, had her shorts on and come to her pastor's wife and said, he preached from the Bible. I'm wrong. I need to go home and change. And that old preacher's wife said, oh, don't worry about it. He's just preaching. He's just preaching. That's what the old devil will tell you. That's what the world will tell you. He's just preaching. He's just ranting. He's just doing what them fundamental Baptist preachers do. Everybody okay? Boy, it got awful quiet in here. He's just preaching. Yeah, I'm preaching. Amen. You say, I didn't come to hear all of this. I didn't come to hear about, amen, how I'm supposed to live. I want to hear about love. Tell me about love. Amen. Old brother Tony Hudson said, I give you a message on love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Amen. There's your love message this morning. Woo. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you say you're saved, listen, John said that he that is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. This is the victory that overcometh, watch it, even our faith. Our faith as children of God, our confidence in God and in the things of God is what leads us to overcome the world. Yes. Point number one is faith in the power of His salvation. This is all I get to. I'm done right here. Would y'all feel better? Watch this now. Come on, sister. Everybody do this. We're almost done. The power of His salvation. You say, how do I overcome the world? Well, notice what John said in verse number 1. Let me see your Bible, brother. Verse number 1 and verse number 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Verse number 5 said, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Say, preacher, how do I overcome the world? I'm always falling prey. Well, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Amen. You'll never overcome the world. You'll never, my friend, have victory over the world until you first of all get born again. Now, if you are saved, there's something to be said that John is writing to believers, and what I believe he's doing, he's reminding them of what God did for them the day they got saved. And I say, thank God, I know that I know that I know. Old granddad would say, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad that I've got that assurance. I'm not thinking so. I'm not hoping so. I ain't got a maybe so. I've got a no-so salvation. A time in my life where the Lord Jesus Christ, by His saving power, changed my life. You want to overcome the world, you've got to tap in and have confidence. You can't be running around, am I saved, am I not saved? You can't run around saying you're saved and then living like you're not saved. Amen. Amen. You've got to be confident in the power of His salvation. It wasn't a what that saved me, it was a who.
Yeah.
Amen. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. It wasn't a church creed that I repeated. It wasn't some Christian dogma that I recited. Oh no. As the night, September the 14th, 1996, about 4 o'clock, a little bit after 4 o'clock, that morning, as a 17-year-old boy, amen, it's coming up real soon, amen, a spiritual birthday. Brother Mark, I rolled out, called on the Lord, and by faith received Him to be the Son of God. Amen. You say, what happened? My life got changed. There's a time I hated church and loved the world. This crowd, well, you know, I can be saved and not go to church. Amen. That's like saying you can be a car without a transmission. Amen. Amen. Going to church don't save me, but because I got saved, I go to church. Can I just preach here? I might as well load your wagon. Some of y'all done made up your mind you're not coming back anyway. I got saved, and the things that I used to hate, I started falling in love with. Used to be, before I got saved, I was a preacher's kid. I didn't have a choice. I was made to go to church. And I hated it. I hate it. 15, 16, 17 years old, I hate it. At the age of 17, I started trying to fit in, but on the inside, there's just something that didn't like it, didn't understand it, didn't want it. When I got up September 14, 1996, son, something changed on the inside. Amen. That's right. The power of His salvation caused me to love Him, love His people. You know why I hated them before I got saved? Because I was of the world, and the world doesn't love Christ or the church. Well, I'm just too busy to go to church. Well, that's funny. You ain't too busy to do everything else you want to do. The power of His salvation. You know what I'm thankful for today? I'm born again. Born of God. I'm not living in the realm of the fleshly birth. Brother Mark, there's a spiritual birth that is taking place. When you get born again, whosoever is born of God, the power of His salvation manifest in your life, overcometh the world. Everybody okay? All right. Well, that's as good as I can leave you there right now. Let's all stand. Father, I want to thank You for the goodness of God. I want to thank You for the grace of God that the Joneses sang about a little while ago. I want to thank You for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Father, today I didn't intend to be this lengthy, but Lord, you've given us a message, and Lord, I pray that You'd help Your church to receive it. Lord, we're living in a wicked world that lies in wickedness and sin. Father, there's many that have bought in the philosophies, those wicked philosophies, the sinful pleasures. Lord, there's some today, they've not gone that route, but Lord, the persecution and Lord, the stands they make, Lord, has caused the world to come against them. Lord, they've become discouraged because of the world. And Father, I pray today You'd give us all victory. Help us to understand the power of Your salvation changed our life. We are going to heaven. We know we're saved. We know that we're born of God. Father, I pray this morning right now You'd help us, help our church, Lord, not to back up and compromise. Lord, to go liberal routes that so many others have gone. To help us, Lord, to love sinners and to love our God. To love the Word of God, and Lord, in spite of what the world would say or do, to make our mark for God in this present world. Father, help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. No one's looking around. Some already come, others moving this morning. Would you mind the Lord? Would you mind the Lord? I want to ask a question today while nobody's looking around. Is there one anywhere say, preacher? Let me ask it this way. How many would say, by uplifted hand, preacher, I'm saved. I know I am. God saved my life. He's changed my life. I'm not the man I used to be. I know I'm saved. Can you uplift your hand right now? Preacher, I know I'm saved. You know you're saved. Just hold your hand up. I know I'm saved, no doubt about it. God bless you. You can put your hand down. How many saved this morning? Brother Jeb, preacher, please pray for me. I'm not saved. Listen, you're among friends. God bless you, young lady. Would there be another preacher? I'm not saved. You're among friends today. God bless you, ma'am. You're among friends today. You'd say, preacher, please pray for me. Nobody's looking around. Me and God looking around. Preacher, please pray for me. I've never been saved. My life is not only lived in the world, but it's lived of this world. Preacher, it's in a mess today. Preacher, would you please pray for me? Would there be one anywhere? Would there be another? There's been at least two. Raise your hand. Would there be another? Preacher, please pray for me. Here's what I want to do. There's a few still praying. If you raised your hand, I want to invite you. Step out. You come on. We'll take the Bible. Show you how you know that you're saved by the grace of God. This world ain't your friend. Don't leave here today. Hearing the call of the world, you come to Jesus today. He'll save you. He'll save you. You know what's so bad about the world today? They'll love you as long as you have something to offer. They'll love you as long as you have something to give. When they use you and dry you up, they'll throw you aside like they do everybody else. This morning, won't you come to the Lord? Ma'am, young lady, you raised your hand. We want to invite you to come. Step out where you are. Step out where you are. We'll take the Word of God. You come down this altar. We'll take the Word of God. You can leave here today saved by the grace of God. If you want to do that, you can. Sister Kathy testified a little while ago that the Lord showed her she was lost. She could have got saved in that very moment. She began to pray, Lord, let me get back another night. Thank God He did. Thank God for 2 weeks the Lord let me live, have an opportunity to call on His name after I knew I was lost. But you listen, friend, and I'm not trying to scare you, not trying to be emotional. God didn't have to do that for me. God didn't have to do that for Kathy. You've got no promise you'll even make it back this evening to be saved by the grace of God. You've got no promise that you'll ever make it back next week. You can come today. That's why Paul said, now's the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. While she finishes this verse, if you'd like to come today, we invite you to. Right now, this morning.